أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا بالقاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم عليه وآله وسلم. لا سيما بقية الله مؤمن رب العالمين لفضاله محمد الكبير. Respected scholars, respected elder brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jami'an. Congratulations on the auspicious 5th anniversary of the first grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam, one of the two masters and the leaders of the youth of Haridwar's part of the heart of the Holy Prophet of Islam, Imam Hassan Mustafa, alayhi afdal salawat wa tahiyyat. On behalf of all of you and my congregants, yes, please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
On behalf of all of you and my congregants, we offer our sincere congratulations to our present Imam Muhammad bin Abdullah Farajul Sharif for this auspicious occasion.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
May His Holy Honor and the hearts of our Prophet and the Salam be pleased with all of us, all brothers and sisters, and those who organize of this and such majorities. Surely such gatherings are the gatherings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah is pleased with, and Prophet and the Salam are pleased with, and they have promised to people who used to look like you and are living at the time of Imam Sadr alayhi salam, that Imam Sadr alayhi salam said that such gatherings, we love them. In the Greek al-Majalis, we love such gatherings. But Uhibbu Manu Iha, and we love those who are reviving such majalis. So boldly and organizing such gatherings in which the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exalted, and the names and the virtues of Abu Bakr are mentioned, exalted and respected, are surely majority of the day, halaq of the day, and the galleries and the parts of the paradise, inshallah. Consider yourself sitting in the gardens of paradise, and especially in this Imam Bardar and this masjid, and on the top of that, in the holy months of Ramadan, that were all the guests of the Almighty God. From the very bottom of my heart, thank you, Almighty God, enough. And please join me as well in saying Alhamdulillah, the Nabi, Hadana Lehata, Mama, Kunna, and Tadia, Doga, and Hadana. We only appreciate the blessing of Islam, the blessing of Iman, and inshallah, once you are living in our graves, each and every one of us. The moment that your Malayan Ta'amal, Wala Banoon, the day that none of our children, no wealth, no fame, no degree, nothing will avail us other than the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Inshallah, the time will come when you and I are buried in our graves that I say, Ya Imam Hassan Mustafa alayhi salam, I'm very sinful. I'm so ashamed to call myself your lover and follower, but I have one capital present, and that is I love you. In dunya, I love you. I love your family. Ya Rasulallah, I love your family. In the happiness of your family, we were happy. In the sadness of your family, we were within and growing. Ya Rasulallah, I attended the madness that was held in memory of your grandson that you loved him the most. Ya Rasulallah, tonight I'm here to say Assalamu alaikum, Ya Hasan al-Mushtaba. And every time that you say salam, Quran says greeting is mustahab to the shirk. To reply the greeting is wajib. I cannot fathom that we said tonight, standing towards the Qibla, greeting the 14 ma'asumi, that was mustahab to say salam alaikum. I cannot believe that they did not reply to us. Impossible. husband. Someone very close to me, I know him very well, deliberately I don't mention the name, that has passed away recently. I had a dream of him, and he told me in the dream that when I was buried in my grave, this person, it was his good habit that every year he was blessed almost all his life. Of course, he was living in Iran. Almost every year he used to visit the Mawlana Salih Salam in Mashhad. And there is a hadith that in your lifetime, if you were blessed to visit 3 times of Imam Reza alayhi salam, Imam Reza says that in 3 stations after your death, I will come and visit you back. And this person, he says that I received the first one after you all left the cemetery, when I was in my grave, when I was in difficulty, when I was short of my amal. And Imam Reza alayhi salam came to me with your sincere when I saw my great pool of noon. He said, I'm the one who used to come and visit him in Mashhad. This is the reply of As-salamu alayhi wa alayhi wa Reza. When you say salam alayhi, any of the Imams rest assured that it's impossible that they do not reply you back. And the salam of the Imam means salamati, means peace. Peace from hellfire. We are here, inshallah, tonight, we are Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, to say as-salamu alayhi. And inshallah, we trust that we get nothing less than freedom from the hellfire. Salwa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Just one more point, and inshallah, get to the topic tonight. But I just heard that I saw one of the teenagers, mashallah, reciting the du'a al-Iftitah. Very impressed. I was honestly very much impressed. And frankly speaking, in my heart, I was praying for his parents, for his teachers, for the leaders of the community, jazakumullah khair of the scholars. And I said to myself, now I know why. Why? In Australia, we have some brothers and sisters that were from your community, from Kenya. And I used to say that how come that everybody comes from Kenya, mashallah, so religious, so educated, well, among the best reciters, they become the top of the reciters in our community. Now I know why, mashallah, that's a problem of my really, the elderly people, the teachers, parents, by hello people, may God, inshallah, give you an abundant reward with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
This 8 minutes is not counted as part of my talk, you know. I'm sorry. That was just a commercial. It's a happy occasion. I just want to bring some smiles to your beautiful face. Alright, as promised last night, the topic, inshallah, as my time allows me, is a quick analysis of one of the accusations given over the Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam was targeted. Needless to say that this clarification is not for you, brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah, for us as believers, mu'minin, we have, inshallah, no doubt that what you get that our Imams, who are divinely protected and are masumeen, whatever they do is correct. They do not even do tahiyyullah, let alone committing the sins, let alone making such big mistakes that the Imam was accused with. But still, number one, benefit from the history, as I will explain. And number three, does anybody ask you, have an answer. At the end of the story of Prophet Yusuf, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, the Almighty God in Surah Yusuf mentions, and I quote out of Allah, mentioned Khan and Ali, لَبَكَانَ فِي أَصَّصِهِمْ لَبَكَانَ لَكُمْ فِي أَصَّصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Surely in the stories that we mentioned to you, Asas is the plural form of Esay. Esay means when you are following the subsequences of something. The Almighty God says that when we tell you the stories of the prophets, imagine that we're living 1400 years ago, at the time of the prophet, and almost an entire student, over 100 ayat are revealed to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he is sharing the ayat with us all about the story of Prophet Yusuf from childhood until he becomes the Aziz of the Mist at the end of the story. One may wonder that why am I sitting here listening to the story of millenniums back? Second surah of the Quran is the month of the Quran, it's good to reflect on the ayat of the Quran. Second surah of the Quran, the name of the surah is Surah Al Surah Al Baqarah. Why Surah Al Baqarah is named as Surah Al Baqarah? Because this word is named after the story about the slogan of the Now, when it is by eyes. About Bani Israel, over 80 ayat in Surah Al Baqarah are revealed to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we know the ayat of Surah Al Baqarah. Over 80 ayat going to the details and operation about various stories of Israelites, Bani Israel, and many other stories of the ancient prophets mentioned in the Quran. Question. Ya Allah, respectfully, why are you telling us all these stories? Why do I need to know about Israel, Bani Israel, whether they slow their decline, they not slow their, why they have to, what has got to do with me? I'm living 1400 years ago now. What's got to do with me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he read this ayat, one of them is at the end of Surah Yusuf, then tells us that the reason that Allah will elaborate and bring you to the topic of tonight. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِهِ لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In the stories that you mentioned to me about the ancient prophets, there are عِبْرَة. عِبْرَة in Arabic means lessons. You know, in Arabic, if you are familiar with your Arabic background, مَعْبَار is like a bridge. That is bridging the town to the island. When we are coming from the airport, you will just bridge it, come to this side of the city. Okay? So, the story of Prophet Yusuf, Bani Israel, and all the stories mentioned in the Quran, in fact, we have to bridge them for the present time. We learn the history of people who used to live like you alone. Why Bani Israel and the story of Bani Israel so much under both of ayat of the Quran dedicated to the story of Bani Israel? Because in the ancient time, before the advent of the complete Islam, the only one of the yesti and the community and jama'ah that were wa'ed were Bani Israel, where everyone else were idol worshippers. So because they were very similar to us, they had a law-making prophet by Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and the community were the community of Wahidin. Because they were very similar to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, various surah of the Quran mentions their stories, not just because God wants to tell us maybe there is good of our kids together. Some parents, they think that the benefits of the stories of the Quran is just because I want to put my kids together. Fair enough, really to the better level. But as they grow older and older, they need to learn more about the wisdom behind those stories. And remember that unless when we read the Quran, we relate it to our present time, we have not read the Quran the way that the Quran wants us to read it. Every single ayat of the Quran that you read, pause and ask yourself, what is Allah has for me? What is the message that God is trying to deliver to me? Sometimes we know in education is that if you want to discipline your son, the older, the younger boy, you want to discipline him, you talk to the older one. You say to the older one that, for example, Hassan, don't do this again. And you know you're talking to Ali, the younger one. But indirectly you talk. Usually indirect speaking is more effective than like the younger one doesn't feel humiliated. This is the style of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to tell you and I to be pious. Ya ayyuhan nabi yuttaqillah. Okay, to his prophet, Ya ayyuhan nabi yuttaqillah. Ya Rasulallah. It's impossible. God is telling the prophet, be pious. No, God is telling his prophet so that you and I will understand that if tomorrow you come and tell me, Ya Shaykh, yuttaqillah, you won't be offended. So he said, whatever your faith is going to do, you are a believer.
God is telling the prophet, you are a believer. Then there is always room to improve. Okay? So the purpose of reading the history is not for the sake of history. And subhanAllah, the story of the Quran in narrating the history is that Quran doesn't go to the details of the numbers and digits and things like that, and not the Bible. And that's why we say the Bible is very much a story. The story of the Quran is more of mentioning it in short and sweet and then to conclude. How many ayat do you have about the story of Prophet Ayyub? You ayat and then immediately got access to the conclusion. You stay behind. Now, in the story of Muhammad Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam and what happened at the time of Muhammad Hassan Mujtaba, that you remember the last part we mentioned, Muhammad Hassan was very ghareeb. You know the meaning of ghareeb? Lonely. Very ghareeb at his heart. We are discussing this mainly for you and what to learn to make sure we don't treat Imam Zaman as ghareeb. Because Imam Zaman is our present Imam. As well as the Imam of Imam Hassan Mujtaba, Imam Hassan will be our Imam Zaman. People before us, they mistreated their Imam and he became a ghareeb. Before he mistreated Imam Ali, so much so that he was praying to God, Ya Allah, take my life. These people, they bored, are boring me, and I'm boring them, I'm quoting Imam Ali alayhi salam. Ya Allah, take my life. And eventually it happened. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. I'm scared that Imam Mahdi, inshallah, never prays to God, Ya Allah, take my life, because his community is boring me. This community has been so disloyal to me. This community say Allahumma ajjal li walidi kal faraj li tuwaffaraj. But in practice, they don't do what I want them to do. This is God bringing to our present life. Now, the time of Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, Imam Baqir alayhi salam describes to us better than we from the Holy Books of the Masoom. In a very long hadith, the Imam elaborates and he says that at the time of my grand uncle, this was the Shia community. How is the Shia community? What was it? Imagine that in the year 40, in the month of Ramadan, the Imam alayhi salam was assassinated to death. After that, Imam Baqir alayhi salam, since they were after Shia, it would be just enough that if you were accused of being a Shia, you would lose your head. People could not keep or name their children after the Imam Ali. To name their kids Ali, it would be a big crime, let alone being known as a Shia. The situation was so severe that Imam Baqir alayhi salam says that it would be easier for someone and dearer to someone. And the Rajul la yuhibbu. أن يقال له كافر أو زنديق من أن يقال شيعة علي. He would prefer one to be called a kafir, a Buddhist, a Hindu, than being called a Shia. Because to be called a Hindu, as we saw it, they would save a life. It would save the life. You know what I'm talking about if you're following the news. But to be a Shia, to go and visit as a pilgrimage to Saudi Arabia, you would lose your life. SubhanAllah, how the history fits. That's why I'm talking about the history bringing to our present time. That was the situation. And unfortunately, the community, because money folks, because they want the supposed to safeguard themselves, Imam Hassan Mujtaba lost all his companions to love, to Dirham and Dinar. I'll tell you what happens, one after the other. Right after the murder of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, Imam Hassan sends a letter to Muawiyah, because remember the situation. Imam Ali, there were three wars, civil wars imposed to Imam Ali. One by a group called Naqifin. Naqifin means those who broke their promise. They paid allegiance to Imam Ali, got cash hands away, and then they broke it. Again, because of the position. The second group was Qasimin, rebels, insurgents, exactly the disputes between themselves. They rebelled against Imam Ali alayhi salam, the leader of that
those rebels among them, the son of Usunia, the son of Hanun. Okay.
And the third were the offshoot among the Shia community, Khawarij, the offshoot, the extremists, that they believed they did not have meaning. Unless you believe in what I believe, you have to lose your death. We have to kill you. Three oppositions against Muhammad Islam, and eventually they killed them all. Now Imam Hassan has to deal with this situation. On the other side of it, the side of Muhammad, they started, they said that if you want to kill Imam Hassan, he becomes a hero, as Muhammad became a hero. So we don't want to kill Hassan al-Ali. What we want to do, we want to kill his character. We want to assassinate his character. Because sometimes by killing a leader, you are making him a hero. But if you ruin his reputation, his community will turn away from him. Huh? Do you see the plot? This is the funny way that we were dealing with the situation. So what they did, it was during the war, the war that was continued from the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Muawiyah sends two people to Imam Hassan Mustafa alayhi salam for negotiation. We want to negotiate to see if there is any room for reconciliation. After they left Imam Hassan Mustafa alayhi salam, they came out of the room. They went to, as they were passing by the crowd, the community of Imam Hassan, they started saying that, Alhamdulillah, see how Hassan al-Ali wanted the peace, and then he accepted the peace and handed over the government, handed over to Muawiyah, just to spread rumors, to create doubt among the naive Shia. And they were like they were hoping themselves, but they were passing message to the community. And the naive people, they did not go to check with the Imam to cross examine the information. Imam Hassan sold us. Imam Hassan, Hassan al-Ali accepted the peace with Muhammad. I don't want to speak. This is not the right thing. At the same time, Muhammad sends money because he knows the weakness of people. There is an ayah in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that each and every one of us, for example, there is an open window for Shaitan. I need to know which window is open in me. For some people, sex is the open window. For some people, money. For some people, it's position. Identify, find out the open window inside yourself and make sure that not only you lock it, you break it. Otherwise, one day Shaitan will come through. Knowing that they have these windows open, Muawiyah sends money. To who? To the chief commander of the army of Imam Hassan Mustafa, who is the cousin of the Imam. And that's why I said Imam Hassan was more gharib than Imam Hussein. His name is Ubaydullah ibn Abbas, the cousin, the first cousin of, the second cousin of Imam Hassan Mustafa. How much? 100,000. Now it's not worth it. Myself, Hassan, 100,000. Or is it I know that he's just a businessman, eh? It's not that he's against you. He wants more. Doesn't matter, I'll just give you more. Until the deal done, and then on the price of 1 million, say dollar, the price of that, he accepted it for 1 million to sell him on the sandwich level. Today I was telling some brothers that one of their MPs, he was telling me that Shia, to get to the parliament in Australia, do you know what profit is for Muslim Shia? How much I have to sacrifice? Sometimes I have to sit with them and even drink with them. To blend in, for them to accept me. I said, wow, brother, really, you have sacrificed a lot. They thought about raising him. He said, really, yes, I'm telling you. He said, Allah, you sacrificed a lot. You have missed all your paradise, your akhirah, for going to the parliament. Is it worth it? With $1 million, you decided to go to hell. Him and his companions and troops of Ubaydullah ibn Abbas, they left Imam Hassan Mustafa and joined the camp of Muawiyah. And that's how it continued. one after the other. Now, imagine the situation that Imam Hassan and Shabbat is different. Not only that, on the top of it, Muawiyah had the audacity to say that whoever brings the head of Hassan ibn Ali, I give him that much. Allah. Sending this message to whom? Supposedly to the followers and the lovers of Imam Hassan ibn Shabbat. When Imam Sadr was asked at what point that Imam Zaman does not appear because he is scared that the community do to him what they did to Imam Hassan ibn Shabbat. They sell love because of some dollars, some pounds. Allah. Otherwise, if Imam Zaman is sure that he has loyal companions, he will come. He is more eager to come than you and I. Now we want to analyze it and see that why is it that these people they did that to the Imam Salawat of Muhammad wa Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
The very first reason that Quran says that's why I'm telling you the history of the past is that Adab Basar in us. Quran is the book of Basira. In Arabic we have Basar, which is Nazar, is it called Lord? Something that I know, of course, very bad as well. And we have vision, inner look, intellectual look, that is called Al-Basira. What the community of Imam Hassan alayhi salam did not have, they lacked, was Basira. They didn't have the vision. Brothers, sisters, they could not read between the lines. They could not read between the lines. They were so naive that the enemies of Imam Hassan, which was the reality, the enemy, could manipulate their mind. Exactly what is happening to some Shia and some Muslims in today's world. How they were manipulated by the media, by Western media. Before you read the news, check the source of the news. Before you turn on the channel, check who is behind this TV or radio channel. Who has sponsored it? A channel that is sponsored by Israel, impossible that God is telling you the truth, the right news. Their attitude is the attitude of Fir'aun. Quran has told us, and me, Quran, Koma, Arab, I show you the clips that I want you to see. I don't show you the full picture, I don't show you the full picture. I show you what I want you to see. Be careful. And that's why if you watch those poisonous channels, you are sending poisons to yourselves. Quran says, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنْسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامٍ. When you eat, look at your food. Don't close your eyes and just anything comes to your hand, pull it in your mouth. Imam Sadr alayhi salam says that the meaning of this ayah, one of the meaning of this ayah is that أَيْمُمُ الَّذِي يَعْقُدُ عَمَّنْ يَعْقُدُ. Make sure you know where you get your knowledge from. Where you get the news from. Otherwise, you'll be manipulated. They will brainwash us. So they lack that basira. In the same way that at the time of the Prophet, some of the companions didn't have the basira. Didn't the Prophet start the peace treaty with Hudaybiyah with the Kuffar of Quraysh? They say, why Imam Hassan started the peace treaty with Muawiyah, son of Abu Sufyan? I tell them, my friend, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Quran says that he utters not a word but a revelation. He signed the peace treaty with the father of Muawiyah. Why? Because peace in Arabic means a sulh. You know that? Sulh is, maslahat is from sulh. And any time there is a maslahat, there is a benefit for the Muslim community, we have to accept the peace. If there is no maslahat, there is no sulh, there is no peace. As much as there was maslahat for the Muslim community at the time of the Prophet to sign the peace treaty with Abu Sufyan, there was definitely maslahat to sign the peace treaty with Muawiyah. Why maslahat? Because if the Imam would continue that war, not only they would kill the Imam with no result, the plan was to eradicate the Shia and the lovers and the followers of Abu from the surface of the earth. Those who could not understand things, I'm talking about some supposedly eminent members of the community, like Sulaiman ibn Sa'id al-Ghazali, like Ibn Mukhtar, like Sadir Sayyidi, that later on he comes to Imam Baqir. Imam Baqir says that, tell me your aqeedah, let me check it. Do you believe in all of us? I believe in all of you, but honestly, you know, I said that he was different. The Imam says that, don't ever say this again. He said, yes, you are not a scholar, but he gave the government Muawiyah, you shouldn't have done that.
The Imam says, question and doubt your knowledge.
What my uncle Imam Hassan did was more beneficial for the community than the son in the sky. If he did not sign that history, there would not be any shirle. There was a maslaha, there was a benefit in that. So it's one. The second problem that the community had, that we have to be very careful, and we're always early in the community. Now we don't have access to Imam Zaman to go and ask you about it, but we have access to representatives of Imam Zaman. Your marja, stay behind your marja. Don't let anyone manipulate your mind about marja. They did not stay behind their leader. They thought that they were super intelligent. One of the problems of so-called education, the elite of the community of accuracy with all respect, is that once we study a little bit, we think that I'm good.
I know everyone.
Everything. Hey, take it easy, my friend. You may be a well-versed scientist, but you don't know alphabets of politics, my friend. You don't know the alphabets of religion. Just a few years of studying, Moses now is not as if he is a Marja or a Kullah. Hey, take it easy, my friend. Why my Kullah Kadar doesn't say anything? Why our Marja Marajas? What did you know, my friend, that it says our Marja? Just stay behind your leaders, your Marja representatives, the Imam's houses. They are my Kudja for you. You have a Kudja on the day of judgment if you say behind your Marja. If you want to overtake your marja, you're risking your life, your faith, be careful. So the second reason that the community of Imam Hassan slipped from the right path was because they did not say behind the leader. They questioned it. And the third reason that they slipped is also very beneficial in us to Salawat of Muhammad wa Muhammad. The second, they didn't stay behind that they needed, and the third, the main one, Dunya. It was there at the time of Imam Hassan, and still is there. If someone was telling me, I don't know, how can I just be open and openly discuss some of the issues with you? Obviously, I'm not looking for any individual, I don't mention them. But it's essential for us to know these facts. Shaitan and Shayatin goes to someone. Ya Shaykh, if you want your PR, if you want your citizenship, you are living in the West, you have to do what you want to do. You better be quiet, right? Otherwise, your visa will be cancelled. Otherwise, you lose your citizenship. Otherwise, you end up in Guantanamo. Otherwise, really? Okay, there is a maslaha now in doing so. And I'm not talking about the personal benefit. The maslaha that we're talking about is the community's benefit, not the individual's benefit. So Shaitan goes to each and every one of them. In the same way that Muawiyah sent the message eventually to Ja'alin, the wife of the Prophet, look at how Shaitan is alluring. He is telling her that, look, you know that Hassan has no power. If you kill your husband, I will marry you to my son, who's going to be the next king. You will be the princess, the queen of the land. And that is stupid woman. She did that job. She accepted the shaitan's invitation. She poisoned the grandson of the Prophet, Allah. If 10 years before that, somebody would tell that woman that one day you become the killer of your husband, you become the killer of the grandson of the Prophet, she would not believe you. Ya Allah, sitting in the mosque and not believe you either. Ya Allah, protect me, safeguard me. Don't put me in such situations. These are very big tests, tests of faith. She did it, and then what Muhammad did after Imam Hassan was killed, she goes to Muhammad and okay, I'm ready. After Muhammad is over, I'm ready to become the wife of your son.
Muhammad said, ah, your problem is that you read the Quran, I suppose. What? Muhammad, read the Quran? Yes, of course I read the Quran. وقال الشيطان لما بني الأمر إن الله وعدكم وعد الحق ووعدتكم فأخلفتكم. Shaytan says that Allah promised you. Imam Hassan, representative of Allah, the slave of Allah, promised you that you stay loyal to me, you will be my wife in Paradise too. I also promised you, go and keep the son of the Prophet. I will marry you to my son, but I am Shaytan and representative of Shaytan. Since when Shaytan kept his promise for me to keep my promise? You keep the son of the Prophet as if you are not going to keep my son. See? That's what they do sometimes. خسر الدنيا والآخرة. We are here to learn from the history of the past so that I don't lose my dunya and my Akhirah. Anyone who does not stay behind his imam or the imam will lose dunya and will lose Akhirah. We are celebrating the birth of Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam. We read something about the history of the law of Imam Hassan Mujtaba just for one main reason, one main lesson and message to them, and that is make sure that we are not destroyed of our present Imam Hassan Mujtaba, no matter how much they give us. Imam Hassan alayhi salam says that your price is paradise. Anything less than that offers you, say, no, right? This day is not worth it for me. It's the last day. We are giving you half of the world, give you the whole world, it's not worth it for me. It's not worth it. If you give them paradise, I'll come you. And of course, they don't have it to give. Salam Muhammad wa Muhammad. I have no doubt that when, because the holy name of Imam Hassan Mujtaba is mentioned here in this masjid, Imam Zaman is attending this masjid. Fatima Zahra, all is pleased tonight. The Prophet is happy tonight. Imam Ali is happy tonight. After praying, the pandas are celebrating tonight, and are all watching us. Inshallah, we want to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in respect and in honor of Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, may I ask you, just hold, I propose and do also here. Few seconds if you may, think of the best that you want for your dunya and for your akhirah. You know when there is a happy occasion, there is a celebration, people usually bring gifts. When you are dealing with Ahlul Bayt, they don't want you to bring any gift. They give you a gift. Because remember, Imam Hassan was very generous. Tonight, Imam Hassan has a gift even for the youngest children, for all of us, because you attended my majlis. Just one few seconds, think of a gift that tonight you want from Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam. In the good months of Ramadan, in right the heart of the months of Ramadan. And when I read the Tarasol, you are conscious of your being. That you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in honor and respect of Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam. And rest assured that you will not be bestowed unless you are gifted from the holy hand of Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam. Ya Aba Muhammad, Ya Hassan ibn Ali. يا رسول الله يا سيد